Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Smell You Later.
We were just discussing trimming ball hair before this, so you arrived at the perfect time.
It sounds scary to me.
It is scary to me. Even as someone who is scared by everything, that is a special case. But
people do it. I don't know if anyone watches that show Gen V on Amazon. It's the side spinoff from The Boys. But this most recent episode, you get a full image of balls.
Oh, great.
And I always forget that this show is so graphic and they do like full dick and balls nudity, like gratuitously, to the point where I'm just like, okay, stop.
Why am I not watching?
What was funny in the scene, I was like, oh, this man's completely hairless. Is that normal? I don't think it is.
Isn't that show just like full of hot guys?
Yeah. It's just like hot people. And then there's a lot of gore and violence. It's based on a graphic novel. So it's like that kind of graphicness, but it's a good action mystery adventure show.
I gotta start watching some TV by the sound of it.
I'm hooked. I didn't need to see all that balls, but...
Well, different strokes. I'll be tuning in this evening.
I feel like everything new that I've smelled is like something I'm not allowed to talk about.
I know, we are in that odd sort of pre-holiday hurry up and wait.
It's fall, guys. Finally, you pumpkin spice ass bitches. You may proceed.
I'm a pumpkin spice ass bitch year round, though. And it's also 80 degrees still.
Why?
No. We got to enjoy this while we got it.
The humidity.
I'm going to be freezing my tits off in about a week here. So
that's fine. I have not been sleeping well just because, like, if it's too hot, I get all tossy turny. Also, I try that. I don't know if this is a thing people know about, like that moon juice magnesium cherry supplement for sleeping.
Yeah.
I think they were like one of the viral sleepy girl mocktail accoutrement.
Is it a powder?
It's a powder.
Yeah.
I mean, moon juice does all those wellness powders. Yeah. And I was a little bit like, because there was that story about the founder potentially pushing tainted batches and trying to sell them.
Great.
Still, even though she knew they were compromised and being like, we can freeze them for a bit and then resell them, it'll be fine. And everyone was like, no, unfortunately, that's lost.
Yeah.
There was a whole controversy a couple of years ago. I'm going to assume they got the QC under control by now, but I don't know what happened. I tried it for the first time last night and I was like properly sleepy. I was like, okay, good. It's doing its job. And maybe this was my fault, but I paired it with a Unisom, like sleep aid.
Oh.
I had the craziest dreams.
You don't need all that. You don't need all that.
Well, I'm getting over a cold. I'm feeling a lot better, but I was like, I just need to sleep. Like I need an uninterrupted, like 8 to 10 hour sleep. Totally. And I'm like, I'm not fucking around.
Yeah.
And it did the opposite, where I had insane dreams and was just tossing and turning all night. So I was like, great. And then I was like, I wonder if it was the combination or the freaking moon juice, or because I've taken Unisom before. So I'm like, what's going on?
Is Unisom just a sleep aid, or is it it's a just cough a
sleep
medicine?
Aid. It's an antihistamine, but it's used as a sleep and sold as a sleep aid.
Oh, weird. Do you take melatonin? Why?
It doesn't do anything for me.
Really?
Yeah. Magnesium does help.
I know people really like magnesium right now. It's a little too close to like wellness TM, but
magnesium has always been that girl for many things. I think just now it's getting the marketing glow up.
Yeah.
And now there's also newer versions of it, like magnesium L-threonate is like the new one where they're like, it's for cognitive function. I tried that shit. It's expensive. I'm still stupid. So you know what? I will use it to sleep and to be regular, and that's it.
Great.
That's what it's for.
I take melatonin like very sparingly, but like you, if I just need to sleep, if I fucked up my sleep schedule or just haven't been getting enough and need a full 8 hours, but it's the 8 hours thing that really throws me,
yeah,
because I'm
I remember reading that research has debunked melatonin.
Not for me.
Yeah. But that doesn't discount either placebo effects or some people who are just like very susceptible to it. So yeah, but it's not, that doesn't really do much for me.
Really?
I don't know. I think I'm a little bit drug immune. Only with recreational drugs though. They don't really work on me as much. It's weird. My brain is resistant to having fun. Letting loose, not on my watch. Releasing your inhibitions? Absolutely not.
Well, true.
Feeling the sun on your skin? No.
I'm not really a recreational drug girly.
No. Most of my friends are not, I feel. But it does always surprise me, the friends of mine who are. And I'm like, really? You? Mm-hmm. And it's always like the most hardworking, which I guess makes sense. It's people who grind the most and they just party the most, like snort so much stuff. And I'm like, I guess that makes sense. You're a hard worker.
But how do you bounce back from that? That's the thing. Like, dang. I can barely have 3 beers and get up the next day, let alone anything fucking else, which I don't do, but...
I'm very delicate.
Can't even take melatonin. Honestly, not even once a month.
Yeah.
But
anyway, don't or do drugs. I don't know. Don't do drugs or do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Use your discretion. You know what is funny is that there is that bougie drug store, the weed store, Gotham.
There's Gotham. There's Travel Agency, which is my preferred.
Oh, yeah.
Travel Agency is my preferred dispensary.
But I went to the Gotham store in Williamsburg.
That place is cool.
They have like so much other cool stuff, including like a whole fragrance section. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
And they
have
their own fragrances.
Yeah. And I was like, what the heck? It's cool.
They're a little too nice there.
They're too nice. Yeah. The crowd is clearly like...
high.
Yeah.
I do think that place is pretty neat. It's in the Sugar Factory, right?
Yeah, the Domino Refinery. Yeah.
I have been tiptoeing my way back into edibles lately just because my body is just out of whack.
Really?
Uh-huh. No.
I'm telling you, somatic therapy would be great for you.
Well, one thing at a time.
I know. It's a big mysterious word, but it's just like feeling your feelings through your body somehow, which is something I don't know how to do. So I'm just like, I need a professional to help me do this.
I do feel my feelings through my body. That's why I'm always so goddamn tense.
Maybe. Yeah. Let it ride.
Hence the edibles. But thank you, Travel Agency.
I do like edibles for falling asleep. They don't keep me asleep, but they do help me fall asleep.
They make it impossible for me to get up in the morning, which is why I don't like taking them. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Anyway. Weed.
Weed. It helps. Some people.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Oh, boy.
I love when I don't actually know the answer to that question.
Okay, so I'm still digging through my Cody Lab sample pack.
Oh, God.
And I can talk about this now, finally. I smell like one of Gucci's new Alchemist scents.
Okay.
Called Muschio di Luce, which is, I guess, like one of four of a collection based around musk.
Yeah. I thought it was based around rose.
There's two roses, and then there's two, like, there's a mineral musk, and then Muschio di Luce means, like, light. Like, luce is light.
Okay.
So, in Italian. It's funny, because if you don't know Italian, the word in English looks like it's phonetically pronounced Muschio di Luce. Because in Italian, I know a CH is a K, is a hard C sound.
Oh, this is extremely you.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like musk and pink pepper, and it's powdery and a little sweet and a little spicy and very woody. It is like fancy, boring girl shit, which I love. It's so...
It doesn't fucking smell like anything.
Yeah, and I love it.
Oh, wait, can I smell it on you?
It's very airy. It's on this wrist. It's nice.
It is nice.
If you love musk, if you like pink pepper, if you like iris...
Wow.
Or violet, like you will love this.
It's a little, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, like it's a little Lubriderm.
Yeah, it's a little lotiony for sure, definitely. Yeah.
Clean without being sterile.
Agreed. Clean in like a comforting way. You're staying in your Nona's house, in your old childhood bedroom, and the sheets still smell like laundry detergent of ye old days.
Yeah.
Okay, so the website, the Gucci website, they call it a woody musky. Agree. The three hero notes are pink pepper, vetiver, and musk accord.
Okay.
And then they break it down further to cardamom, Guatemala essence, juniper berry essence, pink pepper SFE. What the fuck is SFE? The customer doesn't know this. Stop putting this on your website.
Yeah, gotta knock it off.
Yeah. Cedarwood Atlas essence, vetiver, sandalwood, spicatum, Australia essence. What are these words, Gucci? Benzoin gum extract, musks, and ambrox super. So, like, sure, that. It does sound a lot more complex when I read out the notes, but I think the overall effect is, like, very translucent and airy and light, but powdery and comforting.
It has this sort of, I don't know, I find with, this is truly, like, a musk for the sake of itself.
Yes. Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes Musks, walk with me here. Like, musks can be hollow almost to the point of dry or even sharp.
Yeah.
But this feels like I'm not going to call it round, and it's not warm and it's not sweet, but it does feel balanced enough that it is going to be really nice on the skin and not get too prickly is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice.
I think, like, when I think musks, I always think very light, very comforting skin scents.
Yeah.
And because it's Gucci, I'm like, they're not gonna love that, so they have to put a bunch of shit on there.
Yeah. I wouldn't clock cardamom in this, but it does make sense that it is, if that tracks.
Yeah.
Just because it has texture. a tiny bit of warmth that, like, chills it out and rounds it out a little bit.
Yeah. Keeps it a little oomph.
What color is the bottle?
It's white. White.
Why? It gotta be white.
There's in the collection, there's two musks and two roses.
Yeah. I thought they were all based around rose.
No.
I thought they were different expressions of rose is what I read.
I think the two of the rose ones are.
But there's no rose in this, so that may not make any goddamn sense. Okay,
well, but what's funny is that the other musk fragrance, Moschio Mineralis, which also sounded really interesting to me because it's ambergris and vanilla. When I sprayed that, instant BO.
No.
Like, intense, like, hot, sweaty bus BO. Like,
no.
Bad.
No.
And then 2 hours later on the blotter, I was like, oh, that's nice.
Oh.
But who wants to go around smelling like BO? Like, really strongly, too. This shit had projection. Mm. I was like, what the heck are you doing? Mm. I was alarmed. And then I was, like, reading about it because I was like, what is in this that is doing that? And I don't know.
That Alchemist Garden collection is really full of some surprises. What is the name of the one that I love from the last collection?
Oh, there's peach cumin one? In it. That's why.
Oh, ew. Yeah.
Don't put cumin unless you want it to smell like BO.
No. What's the nectary one that I love?
Osmanthus nectar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that one is... That one goes nuts.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
So nice.
Even, honestly, again, I'm not a rose person, but I did really like the rose ones as well. They have Rosa Incandescent and Rosa Sublime. They're both lovely, but it's both like, okay, you're a rose.
Sure.
Cool.
How much are these? Remind me.
It is $284 for a 50 ml.
You know what? For a Gucci Premier collection, that's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, the 100 ml's are $415.
That's what I was thinking.
So that's, because I was like, I thought they were over $300. They will be with tax, but...
Some of these, having smelled, I think all of them, they read very nice. They don't read as something you need to drop $500 on.
Absolutely.
A few of them. Yeah. I would make an argument for Osmanthus Nectar because I haven't smelled anything like that in that way, that expression of a peach or whatever the fuck. But yeah, and also if you're a true lover of musk, you might feel the same way about this one, which is very nice. But some of them, I'm just sort of like, you could be 170 and everyone would be fine.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I'm like, they don't need to be that much. It's a beautiful bottle. It comes in a beautiful box. It has its own little pouch that it comes into. So it's a nice presentation.
Yeah.
And for a luxury item, great, but okay. Now with all of these niche fragrances, like, you don't really need to be. It's just, it's Gucci. That's why. But yeah, I remember they're all pretty punchy.
Yeah.
Like, none of them are, I would not accuse any of them of being sheer.
No, I agree with you. Like, I think also probably to me where the quote unquote premier luxury comes in is the wear, and I'm sure the oil load. I think they're more of extrate leaning.
Definitely. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I am so excited.
the way you dropped blotter.
The way you throw that blotter. I smell like Silver Haze by Alloy Studio.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this is I don't know where the hell I heard about this one, probably of my own lurking, but I couldn't get this one out of my head and I had to smell it. And so they very graciously sent me a discovery set. And this one, let me just tell you about it. This is from their site. A backseat smoke session veiled in strawberry haze, saffron leather seats that stick to your thighs, the raunchy smell of cannabis, sweet berry perfume, and good times. And the main notes that they call out are trashy strawberry perfume, cannabis, sativa, chocolate powder, silver ambroxan, delicate iris, pink spices. And to me, I am soaked in this, but this gave me like exactly what I wanted in every way. It's so good. It smells like up here.
I got the strawberry.
Yeah. It's so, what I'm getting is strawberry first and then I feel like they balance the saffron and the leather. So there's, is there leather in this? I feel like they, like the saffron is right behind that strawberry and it feels almost like a saffron leather and like a vintage car interior leather.
Yeah.
And there is that little bit of iris to give it a nice plush, like foggy hot box feel. And then there's the cocoa, there's a little bit of vanilla and Broxen. It gives me like everything that I wanted. It's like a dirty vintage retro strawberry. And I love it. I think the only thing that I don't get from it, which is not a complaint, just an observation, is I'm not getting a ton of cannabis, which I think is in its own benefit, but it just gives me exactly what I wanted. It smells like rolling a blunt in a Swisher Sweet and hotboxing a car in that way.
That's so funny.
And it's really nice. I mean, I think you asked me last week, what is your favorite strawberry? And had I smelled this, I think I would have said this, because it's a really awesome take on a strawberry that is also very saffron forward, and it just feels different.
I like the name Silver Haze.
Yeah, and the name doesn't, it almost feels detached from the fragrance in a way, but again, neutral statement, this is really, really nice. This is the first of the four Alloy Studios fragrances that I've smelled, but I am so excited to smell the rest, just because if this is supposed to smell like a backseat smoke session, it's like the most fun way it could possibly be. And yeah, I don't know. I would definitely go back to this time and time again. It's really good.
Nice.
It's like chewy, juicy, gummy strawberry and just a sort of saffron, leathery, sweet, smoky. Oh, it's great. It's lovely. I can't shut up about it. Obsessed.
Speaking of obsessed, you have not shut up about
anything.
The brand of our guest today.
I be talking.
For months. And I was like, what is all this then?
Yeah.
So we finally had the pleasure of tracking down the one and only Aaron Kleinberg, founder of Cydia, which is a fragrance.
A fragrance.
Home fragrance body.
I would say a fragrance body and home
collection.
I think of them more of a lifestyle brand.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
They just are what they're going to be.
Yeah, stuff smells nice, looks great.
I think what, and I get it, we get into this a bit in the episode, but what intrigued me about Cydia was, I guess, the fragrances.
Yeah.
But what kept me interested is the innovation in formulas, because they have a great hand serum that I love. They have a great body serum that I really like. I'm one of those idiots that doesn't like to put lotion on their body, which is to my own detriment. But the body serum is a spray. It's really easy. It's really light. It sinks in. And the fragrance is great, but it dissipates enough to the end of the day that it's not going to clash with what you're wearing. I don't know. I think there's just so much goddamn product out there right now that, to personally speaking, to catch my eye keep it, there's got to be something different.
There's so much. I feel like a lot of people who are doing body care are just releasing like trendy scents in white labeled formulas.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, stop. Your body lotion sucks.
Yeah.
If it's not actually changing the way your skin feels and making it pleasurable long term, no one's going to wear it, dude.
Right. To state the obvious, the only body brands I've talked about this year are Cydia and Clair. And I feel like they both have that sort of innovative angle that many don't. So yeah, the more I kept using this brand, the more I kept thinking about the fragrances, and to say nothing of the candles, which are also great. We met the founder, Aaron, a couple weeks ago at the launch party for their collab with Sophie Pavitt. And a brief chat with her made me feel like, okay, there's no way we can't have her on. So here we are. We're very excited to jump into all things Cydia.
I'm Aaron Kleinberg, a serial entrepreneur. I've started four different businesses. One was a clothing line, my name, Aaron Kleinberg. One was the Coveteur, a wonderful fashion publication. One is called Metier Creative, a creative agency that I still run for the last 10 years. And I run the beautiful body care and fragrance brand Cydia. And I'm also a mom of two.
Damn.
Another job.
Yeah.
I'm also a wife.
CEO of two kids.
Honestly, that's the hardest one, I have to say.
Yeah, I'll bet. Gosh, it's so funny to think about how before I became acquainted with Cydia, I was like, oh, I've been like
interacting with Aaron Kleinberg brands for this whole time, like Promotor with Mantia Creative. I was like, oh my gosh, yes.
We go way back.
We go way back. I love that. That's so awesome. And once a serial entrepreneur, always. You can't stop that shit, but just keeps going.
Sure.
When I start my business, I will let you know.
I will be here for it, giving you unsolicited advice, I'm sure.
Amazing.
Love it.
Great.
And Aaron, what do you smell like today?
Ooh, today I smell like a very special unreleased fragrance that we've been working on that the world will see early next year.
Okay, exciting. Hey. Can you give us any preview of the notes or anything about it at all?
Sure, yes. It is in the fruity woody family, which is new for us. We haven't delved too deep into the fruit world. And there's some fig leaves and some skin musks is all I'll say.
Ooh, okay.
Pretty, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, pretty up our alley.
Yeah.
Excited to hear the name of it too. I feel like city and names are always some bangers.
Thank you. Always trying to get the emotion.
Yes. So before we jump into sort of all things Cydia, we like to start way back in the day. And if you could just tell us about your background with scent and any fragrances that were important to you growing up. And they don't have to be fine fragrances. They can be as everyday as you would like them to be. So whatever comes to mind.
I love that. And I love this question so much. I feel like I'm just a very sensorial person. And so I'm always noticing the different senses around me. And I just feel like I feel all the feels in life. And so scent is a big part of that. And I will say, I'm definitely not a scent expert. I didn't grow up as like a fragrance head. I was always a fashion gal. And so like just learning this industry and this craft has been, just incredible to me. But I think just growing up, there was always so many different scents. And I feel like I distinctly remember, this is a perfume, but my mom wore Red Door and it was like wafting through my house at all times. Do you guys know that scent?
Is that Elizabeth Arden?
Yep.
Yeah.
It sure is.
Yeah.
Very strong, very perfumey. She wore L'Air de Tempte, Nina Ricci.
I love that perfume.
Yeah. She was a fragrance head actually, which is funny. She is. But then it's funny. One of my best friends told me in high school that I smelled like pine. And I was like, oh, interesting. I quite like that scent. Maybe it's like the zest that my parents have in the shower. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, just funny little smells. Like I always loved, I'm a big vintage collector. So the smell of vintage worn in leather jackets, like all together is like a scent that I'm obsessed with. And I love California. I'm a Palm Springs gal. I got married there and named my daughter after the hotel there. And so I always love all the scents that come from Palm Springs, the citrus, the fresh air, the clean breeze. So yeah, lots of things that I love. I always remember also the smell of my grandmother's Nivea. Like her everything shower, which I'm sure we'll get into. And yeah, I just love like the idea that you can connect scent to experiences and moments. Like one of my best moments in life is when I interned at W Magazine in New York. And like, I always remember the smell of like hot nuts and garbage and cigarettes, and it's all melds together in this glorious old school memory for me.
Oh my God. The smell of the Nuts for Nuts carts is like forever imprinted in my brain.
Forever. Yes. We need to bring back an activation with the Nuts for Nuts.
I was thinking, they need to do a scent or something, like a stunt scent. I don't know.
I've been saying this for the 5 years we've done the podcast.
Honestly,
let's do it, Sable.
I'm 100% down.
This actually makes a lot of sense. I love that.
We need to find out who owns the franchise.
We're looking into it after.
Yeah. It can be Cydia x Sable x Nuts for Nuts.
Honestly, I bet the press would pick it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that so much. I was also thinking, this is so odd, but like the smell of the Letkas that my grandmother would walk into her house, and that stunk your clothes forever, but it was such a warm, yummy home cold scent.
Yes.
Greasy carbs. You can't go wrong.
Yeah. And like hot oil. Yeah.
Guys, nuts and carbs. Yeah. What is good?
Oh, and I'm hungry.
So we'd love for you to walk us through, I don't want to say like your career path, but you have such a like rich, I guess, career before Cydia. I think we're especially interested in Couvetour, of course, but also your creative agency. I think it's really interesting that a lot of people with really diverse and dynamic backgrounds are now founding fragrance brands, like even if they didn't come up in fragrance specifically. And I'm really interested, we're really interested in seeing how that sort of then affects the end brand that we get. So we'd love to hear your past before Cydia.
Yeah, totally. One quick thing. I think the reason why you're seeing that in fragrance is because we've spent so long talking about what we look like and what our skin looks like and our faces and our cellulite and our bodies and our this and our that. And I feel like for someone like me who's been in the industry for so long, like I'm just so excited to talk about something else and talk about something that makes you feel good and talk about Yeah, an experience and something that feels visceral and tactile. So I think that's probably where we're at with fragrance and why we're excited about it. But yeah, so my career path is funny. Live nine lives. In high school, go all the way back there, I was never good at math or science or whatever. And I was always the one like schmoozing the teachers to get by. And I love fashion so much. I was always showing up to school wearing turquoise Reebok wrestling boots. And people were like, what the hell are you wearing? And I'd be like, next month, it would be like in L or that kind of thing. And I just love trends so much. And so I figured out that you could actually do this for a job. And I was like, wow, you could pick clothing for a career. And so I interned at a couple places in Toronto. And then I set my sights on New York, moved there and got this amazing job working for the fashion director of W, Alex White. And I feel like that was my education in this industry. I learned from the top, and I was on every shoot, whether it was George Clooney and Renee Zellweger at the time, or like Alex would take me on her corporate jobs for Celine or French Connection. And just, I got such a good handle on what it means to create images and create moods and feelings and vibes and build luxury brands. And from there, I couldn't get a visa to live in your lovely country. So I had to move back to Canada. And I was like, I couldn't get a job in any magazines because there's only two of them. There was like two jobs as an editor. And so I decided to start a clothing line. I had dabbled in university with making some tops made out of scarves. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this. And I made a cute little collection. And I was always just very, felt like I had nothing to lose type of thing. And so I actually just called up the buyers at Barney's. I had a friend introduce me to the buyers there. And they took a chance on me as like an indie designer when I was like 20 years old. And I had this cute little collection in the Barney's co-op on the 8th floor. And it was like pre-Instagram. This is like 2008. And so it was before all of this stuff. The way you like got press or got exciting things to happen was like dressing the Gossip Girl costume, you know, like talking to the costume department of Gossip Girl. All the girls showed up in my clothes on the show and seeding things to the Kardashians to see it on like Just Jared. I don't know if you guys even know what
it is. Absolutely.
Okay, good. Kim showed up like repainting the Dash store in her like suede fringe Louboutin heels and her Erin Kleinberg tank top. Amazing. This stuff is iconic. I can't even make this stuff up. I was very lucky, and I took that brand. I sold it to Barney's, then I sold it to Nordstrom and Eames and Harvey Nichols and Lane Crawford. And for the next couple of years, I ended up selling to 80 stores worldwide.
Wow.
Just with this collection of like t-shirts and cardigans. It was like all these pieces that had hand-sewn chain on them and hand-sewn beading. And it was wild. I didn't have a business degree. I didn't know what I was doing. But I think that just set me up for all the other businesses I would run because it was so raw and real. And it was just a very unique time. And then in 2011, I saw The Social Network with a friend of mine, Steph, and we were like, ooh, we should start a website. This is cool. If Mark Zuckerberg could do it, we were like, oh, let's make a website about fashion. Okay. So let's, and we were sitting at breakfast the next morning and we were like, what can we do that's different? And it was just a really important time in street style fashion. And everyone was getting the shot outside the show. And we were like, but we want more. We want to actually see all the options they had. Because with this styling background, I was so focused on what could they choose from. And so me and Steph were like, let's go inside people's homes and shoot their closets juxtaposed against their environments and see how they live. And boy, did we do that. Yeah. And we ended up in 500 of the world's best tastemakers' closets, just spending time seeing how they create hygge and warmth and comfort at home. And I think specifically one of the things that really hit me hard was like seeing all the fancy French candles, and the bougie creams and the fragrances and all the things that really create ambiance and comfort at home. So became very obsessed with that and decor and all of that stuff. And yeah, I did that for the next 4 years and whatever was in everyone's home, from Hugh Hefner's closet to a posthumous Coveteur story on Coco Chanel in her apartment, or coveteuring Barbie. This was like totally uncharted territory. And I think it was really cool to be a part of the cultural zeitgeist that people were so craving. And it was awesome to just put all these people that I admired and was so inspired by on a pedestal and tell their story. And so that's where I think I became like this immense storyteller. And that's who I am still today. So the Coveteur definitely left a very big impression on me. And when I left, I decided that I needed to be like more behind the scenes and just not be so like editrix, like out there and all the things. And I love telling stories. And a partner and I decided we would start a creative agency and work with these brands to tell their story from their point of view, not from the Coveteur's point of view. So 2015, 10 years ago. Called up some of the early advertisers, called up Jen Atkin, and we worked with her on building Way. And I called up J Brand and Dior and Chanel, and they were like, yeah, let's see what you got. Yeah. So really started to build the foundation for what could be. And Métier is inspired by the Métier d'Art, which is the all of the artisans that make up the haute couture shows for Chanel and other brands. And they're, you know, the seamstresses and the milliners and the like, all the people that put this together. And for me, everything is about craftsmanship and storytelling and just the work that goes into these pieces and these brands. And yeah, Métier was born. And then after we worked with Jen from the jump on Way, it was like every brand founder calling us. We worked with the Katie Serinos and the Catherine Powers and all the way to the Oribes and to Victoria Beckham Beauties and Chanel's and all of those. So that company is still going strong and running. Yeah.
That's like quite a roster too. Yeah. Once also everyone knows Way, not just for the product, but feel like they're one of the post Glossier brands that had that their own aesthetic that did feel fresh and new, and that persists until today, which is really great.
Yeah. Yes, definitely so lucky. Jen is such a visionary. And I think early on with the brand, she kind of allowed us to show that this brand could live with other brands. Mm-hmm. Other brands would only show their products. And Jen allowed us to take a flat lay with like other brands and other products. And she really played so well in the sandbox. So we worked with her for 5 years. And yeah, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Dreams come true.
It's funny because I'm thinking of Couture around the time of Into the Gloss, Top Shelf, and now we have AD Home Tour. So I feel like there's always been this, I guess, like voyeuristic thirst to see inside the homes of the rich and famous.
And like,
what's in my bag? Like, people want to know all that stuff. And Couture was actually the first one to do that, really.
And I don't even know if you guys know this. I don't know if anyone really knows, but Couture is meant, it's been to be coveted and voyeur. I don't know if that's obvious or not.
Oh, wait. It was not. I just thought it was a cute. I knew covet was in it, and I thought it was like a person who covets. But wow,
I just thought it was French.
No, it was like covet and voyeur, and we put them together. Yeah, and that, by the way, that thirst and hunger, like to go in these people's homes, like has never subsided for me. It's a problem.
Oh, never.
So we have City of Stories where we go into people's homes. And like, I always just want to do all of our shoots in people's homes. Like, I just love being in people's homes. It's so interesting.
Oh, that's the first thing I do when I go to someone's house.
Yeah,
I use the bathroom and I look at their medicine cabinet.
Oh, literally, you're legit like Father of the Bride, like checking the medicine cabinet.
Not because I'm not like, I'm just like, I want to know what products they have in there. I'm always curious.
I know.
What you said about the options is really fascinating, because you're right. I guess I never thought of it like that. But yeah, we see the look outside of the show. But what else?
What's in the nooks and crannies? Yeah. Like this one woman that I won't mention, like she opened up like her collection of Richard Prince ex Louis Vuitton bags. And she's like, this is where I stash my pot brownies. You want some? I'm like, yes. Oh my God. Because everyone would just have us like stay after the shoot and be like, hey, you want to just order John and Vinny's and drink some wine? And I'm like, fuck yes. Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
that's so cool.
It's funny too, because you mentioned the gloss. I interned when Emily was working at W. So we were good pals. And I think there was like something in the water because Emily was there and I was there and Nick Axelrod was there and we all started beauty company.
Yeah.
Wow. W is the source.
It is a true source. Yeah. Priya was there. Like, yeah.
Wow. Really cool. Okay. Really, though, it's like a whole sort of class of thought leaders.
Something in the water in that building.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So I guess that brings us then to the question. How did you get the idea for Cydia? What was its inspiration after all of that?
Yes, after all of that. So I guess I'll start with my grandmother. My grandmother was like my ultimate matriarch. She was the coolest woman on the planet. She had a tough upbringing. Like, she was in the Holocaust and she came from nothing and moved to Canada and built up a life with my great grandmother. And she just taught me what it means to love and to raise kids and be a woman in this world. And she taught me so much about fashion and beauty. And like, she loved to take care of herself. She was really a proponent of self-care before this billion-dollar industry. She was the true blueprint. And she passed away in March of 2020. So she was like the last funeral before we went on lockdown, which was wild.
Wow.
She had a battle with stomach cancer and she was 79 years old. She was too young. And so I always knew, as when the months leading up to her passing, I felt like I needed to do something in her honor and her legacy. And then she passed away and this pandemic like shut us down. And I had to make some sacrifices at the agency. I wasn't even sure what was going to happen, as we all weren't. And I needed something to channel my grief into. I needed that to be creativity and birth and thinking about, okay, I want to channel my grandmother. I want to honor her. Simultaneously, I had just had my second child. And so I have two kids, as you heard. And my relationship to my body was interesting. Just thinking about, I don't know, my health, my self-care, all these things. And of course, having worked for the last however many years on Metier and working with all these beauty brands, I felt like there was a real white space in body care. And I felt like I could always find a very heavily fragranced body care product that maybe gave me a bit of a headache, or I could find a like awesome, super efficacious, clean product that was great, but the scents were just not to my liking. And so I was like, why don't we get body care that can do both? Let's really fuse these two worlds and create a fully sensorial experience from the scent, make it more fine fragrance to the packaging, make it have ease of use and be very simple to use because so many people skip body care because they're lazy, and have a look and feel like luxury and just, yeah, create this brand in her name and honor that really fuses body care, fragrance, lifestyle, vibes, and vessels. That was where the idea came from.
Wow. Okay. Feels like I hit it just the right time because I feel like now we're also focused on fragrance, and I feel like that in part is why body is indexing so highly the last couple of years. But I feel like Cydia definitely has a more unique take on it, both in formula and aesthetic. And I've been really enjoying watching the brand evolve in that way.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like for me, if I'm going to do anything, we need to be truly innovating and doing something different. And a lot of some of our buyers are like, are you body or are you fragrance? I'm like, I don't have to decide right now. I don't want to decide. I want to create a net new category that's like really different and feels unique and fresh for today's time. Yeah, that's how it started. And then we launched our very first products in January of 2022.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like not too long ago.
Right.
Yeah. Not too long ago.
I feel like, are you body or are you fragrance is not the right question. I'm like, guys, are we still thinking so linearly or like so narrowly?
I know. Well, hey, listen, it is tough for buyers in certain instances because they have to fill the shelves with what the product is for that category. And there's so many business terms of it all. Mm-hmm. But there's also the consumer to think about and they need points of difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
When we talk about points of difference, I was thinking last night about, I don't know, beauty and product and all of this. And I think we are all under the understanding that we already have everything we need and every brand that needs to exist exists and there's nothing new under the sun. But I was thinking about like the brands that I fuck with and why. And the ones I can name are because they bring innovation that I haven't seen or felt or smelled before. And I would put Cydia in that category because a lot of your formulas, there is something unique about them. I feel like there's something innovative about them. And then like you said, they're really easy to use. Like you don't, I think innovation and ease often go hand in hand, but they don't always. Mm-hmm. But with Cydia, they certainly do. And I'm wondering how you approach your formulas. I think I'm specifically thinking of one, the hand serum, and two, the spray body serum, which I think is such a great idea as someone who, like you said, sometimes forgets to take care of the skin on their body.
Totally. I think that honestly came from like a personal need to find a gorgeous hand moisturizing product that wasn't going to be greasy. I feel like I speak to so many people who throw out their hand creams because they're too greasy. You don't want to have to wipe your hands on a towel to touch your screen or want to be able to touch your hair, eat an apple. I think there's people like me who have a bit of a sensory thing where like really heavy, greasy, balmy things kind of make me nauseous in a way. And I just wanted to be able to hydrate and moisturize and treat and all those things without having this greasy product. So I think we've tapped into something that's really a need and a solution for people with that product. If you have super dry hands and you want the heaviest cream possible, that product is definitely not for you. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to needing something that's not going to like get everywhere and make you feel icky, that product is a hit. And we've won 2 Allure Awards on those 2 serums. So I'm very proud of that.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the formulas, we're pretty meticulous. Everything is extremely intentional. Everything is very custom. I think one of the things I've learned from like studying all these and consulting for all these luxury houses all these years is that everything is in the details and it's in all these little moments that make people feel a certain way. And yeah, like every product is custom. Every product is tested a million times. And I give lab samples. I'm like a bag lady with all these little sample creams in my purse. I'm always having people test and try and we're always tweaking and... Yeah, it's a really fun process and it's a joy that I have now. I really love the development side of it.
For our non-visual platform, Tynan and I both just applied the Cydia hand serum.
Oh, I love it. I have
a tube of it on my little coffee table next to my sofa. I have a little jar of lip balms and hand creams just when you're watching TV and your lips are chapped or like your hands are dry. So I keep it on deck, and you're right. It really does absorb to this velvety kind of finish that does not feel greasy at all. It's amazing.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's very addictive. And I think the other thing about the hand serum and our solid perfume and is just that we want everything to feel like an heirloom, feel like a piece that you can carry in your bag. Yes, it's a hand cream. Let's not go crazy here. But it feels like something that I don't know. It feels good in your hands. I think that's so important, like the packaging, the experience. It's so visceral.
It's definitely chic. I like the little pump. I'm not like mashing the tube to get it out.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's part of the ease of use. I was like airless pumps all the way. I can't handle when it gets everywhere.
Yeah.
It has to be like easy, mess-free, chic.
Yes. I have the one in the scent Nirvana. I don't know if you made them all in the other scents.
We have the hand serum in Nirvana, Wired, and Soaked.
Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah.
From where I sit, I thought that those three are your sort of quote-unquote core scents, or at least were when you launched. Is that true? Did you go out with these? How did you then develop the three scents and also the names?
Yeah. So I'll be totally transparent with you. I think when we started the brand, I wasn't as much of a fragrance head as I am now. And that's where my true like passion and love is really like coming through. And so we've tested a couple different scents, but I think where we are now is that our true like core fragrance families are actually Braless, Wired, and Soaked. Mm. Nirvana is like another scent franchise, but it doesn't have as many products in it. We're continuing to build out the line as we go. It's so complicated when you have multiple scents and multiple SKUs. Like, it's a whole ecosystem to keep track of. But I think it really started with Braless. I remember I called Alex, my right hand of the last 10 years, at 9:30 at night. And I was like, Alex, I know what the candles are going to be called. She's wanting like Braless and Wired. And she's like, why are you calling me at 9:30 at night? I'm like, no, but you don't understand. I just took my bra off. It's the best fucking feeling in the world to take that thing off. And I know that people everywhere love this feeling. Like, what else can you find that's like this feeling of liberation that's felt universally amongst women everywhere? That is a real powerful, whatever, statement. And then I'm like, Wired is the exact opposite. Perk me up, lift me up. My kids are like waking me up at 6 in the morning, jumping on my head. Tea leaf, eucalyptus, matcha, tonka bean, tobacco leaves. So it was really this sort of dichotomy. I always love a dichotomy, a juxtaposition. So it's Braless and Wired was the first two candles that we launched with. And people love them. It was like such a great moment. And they're cleaner for you than those fancy French candles that I smelled back in my Coveteur days. Sure. And they smell the part, look the part, and all that. So I think Braless and Wired from the jump have always been, you know, the two originators. And then Soaked and Nirvana came along the way. Soaked is a very Hinoki based scent for us, very spa-like. It's very lovely, very unisex. And then Nirvana is really unique as well. It's got this citrus and amber profile, cactus flower in there. It's really lovely. So I think the way I come at fragrance, because I wasn't always a fragrance head, of course, I work with master perfumers, and I like to just see each of the fragrances as these families. It's almost like an editorial that we're putting together. I'm a stylist at heart, so I'm always layering things and coming at scent as a stylist pull.
Yeah, your formulas do feel very, I'm trying to phrase this question and not sound like a fucking idiot, but like being a luxurious sensorial body brand with fine fragrances that come in many formats, is what I'm trying to get at. The hand serum, the body serum, the solid perfume. They do feel very layerable, which is obviously very in right now. And you can create your own signature scent with the Cydia collection just as you're getting ready. How do you develop scents for body over maybe an EDP or a perfume? Do you think about longevity? Do you think about throw? I'm very interested because I don't love scented body products because I don't like to smell like anything other than what the perfume I'm wearing. But these I feel like I can get away with because you're not going to smell it unless I'm hugging you, unless you're like really close to the skin.
Yeah. Yeah. We think about all of those things. And that's why, of course, we're building out the franchises and each SKU so that you can layer in certain ways. But for us, we're not trying to have the fragrance of the body care like linger all day. I actually think it's a positive thing because so many people in our research have said that it gives them headaches and they don't want it to be too overpowering. And it's maybe meant to just be a little perk me up, lift me up from all the incredible effects they're getting from the notes. And yeah, we're not here trying to make you smell like the same scent all day. I think if you want to try our body mist and keep applying that all day, then that's great. And sure, our solid will continue the path. But I think, I don't know. Yeah, we're not looking for longevity 24/7 kind of thing. I think also you're reapplying certain products. And I think we're also thinking about how they work together. Mm-hmm. And also Cydia is a clean brand, I should say. We are Credo Clean approved. And when you are a clean brand, you can only load your fragrance so high. Mm-hmm. And so that is important to me. I feel like all the luxury brands that I have always been so infatuated with or products are not necessarily air quotes clean. And so that is a big differentiator for Cydia as well. Mm-hmm. I think also specifically in the scents themselves, we want to create scents that you can truly live with each day. They're not set. It's not like we're creating a scent that you're going to wear on your wedding day or this insanely opulent fragrance that's meant for, like, I don't know, a rare, rare occasion. Like, mm-hmm. we want you to live with these scents every single day. So designed to, I think, just wear well with your natural skin each day.
Can we talk about Braless for a minute? Because I know it's having a moment right now with the body spray and the solids. And when I first mentioned it to Sable, she was like, what the hell is that supposed to play? But I think to me, it's a very like magnetic sort of leather, vanilla skin, fall vibe. I don't know. I think it's really beautiful and like simplistic enough that like, oh, everyone's going to love this. But how did we get there?
Totally. First of all, I love the idea of being braless so much that I trademarked that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Love
that. Own that.
So it is registered to Cydia. And I think, we worked with Jerome Epinette and we wanted to really evoke that feeling of the ultimate unwind, unleashing, just feeling that freedom. Like you come home, you just drop everything on the floor, you're moseying around your house, you're just whatever, taking a swim in the pool in your favorite vintage t-shirt. You're like eating a bowl of ice cream for dinner, like whatever. You're doing whatever it is. You're drawing a bath, having a joint. It's just, it's meant to feel like that ultimate unwind. And I think the body mist itself, I think we all know that mist is a huge smash hit right now. Right. And I think people have really been excited to try the Cydia Mist because it does have a quite good longevity. We load it at a percentage that feels like it really can last. Mm-hmm. And it's as you said, it's a warm, beautiful, spicy, slightly sweet vanilla skin scent, but it doesn't smell like a vanilla cupcake. Mm-hmm. And I think people are really looking for that right now. I think we've spent a lot of time in gourmand land and we will continue to, but I think people are excited to try something that's like a little notch up from, you know, what my daughter is spraying on herself. My 9-year-old daughter spraying on herself in the bathroom every morning.
Sure, sure. I guarantee you I'm probably spraying the same thing to you.
And we all love those and we love those so much, but it's really nice to try something I feel different. And you know, it's so cool. It doesn't even matter what I think about this fragrance because if we all look at the review page of the Braless Body Mist in 2 months, we have 150 reviews and people they're wild about it. They're fanatic about it. Mm. And so I am just so proud that the community like has sold out of this product, firstly. Mm. And second of all, they just love it so much. It just gives us so much ammunition to keep building and keep creating more in this franchise. It's such a gift.
Yeah, when Tynan originally told me about the Braless scent, I was thinking of it like literally. So I was like, what the hell is that supposed to smell like? But now that you've explained the whole philosophy, I was like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. Like,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Always braless. So to me, I'm just like, I don't need all that.
I'm so jealous. I wish I could be braless every day. But for me, it's an end of day mood. But yeah, I think it's just an energy.
Like for sure.
You know,
when I was a teenager and I grew up in the early aughts where I feel like having big boobs was like the beauty standard. So I would wear these ridiculous padded bras that obviously looked fake. And then once I grew up in a set, I'm like, I don't need all this shit. First of all, everyone knows I'm lying. I'm not fooling anybody. And also, what is this like for? And then I just was like, I don't need to wear these. I can wear bralettes if I want or nothing. That is actually an incredibly freeing feeling. So
yes,
I get it.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. We'll have to put a bra on Tynan so you can just take it off to see how good it feels.
Oh, wear it all day, sweating it.
I don't think I have that. We've crossed that bridge. Can we talk about brand collabs? Because
you've done a lot.
There's just a ton of brand collabs out there for better and worse. And I think we're all a little fatigued. But the couple that Cydia has done, I've been we've been really impressed with. I want to start with the Angirito restaurants, San Sabino, and of course, Don Angie. What started the real Cydia obsession for me was al fresco with San Sabino. Like, you did something in that scent, and it just imprinted on me. But how did that come about? So for the listeners who may not be super familiar, San Sabino and Don Angie are two very hot restaurants in New York. They're also two very good restaurants in New York, which don't always go together. And Cydia did a collab candle with each restaurant. And I would love to hear more about that first.
Yeah. I love collabs. I think when they're done right, they can be so special and yeah, just really a great moment. I'm a big foodie. I feel like food is part, and the whole experience, the ambiance, everything is part of my sensorial obsession. And so I've always been eating at Don Angie and became friendly with Angie. And I just feel like it's an institution, like that you can't get a rezzo there and it's super hard and everybody wants to eat there. And that each dish is literally crafted to be a masterpiece. And I don't know. Angie and I got to talking and she cares so much again about all the little tiny details that happen in that restaurant, from like the lighting, the ambiance, the marble on the bar, the bathroom vibe, all of this. So we were just like, what if we made two fragrances to go with each restaurant that are obviously nuzzled next to each other in the West Village? And so it's just a really nice thing to have this signature scent. And I love Angie. She's a female chef in a really doggy dog, male dominated world. And she is creating recipes that come from her matriarchs and her family. And we decided to create Saucy for Don Angie, inspired obviously by all of her delicious cooking, and al fresco for San Sabino, giving that sort of outdoor eating on the terrace, fresh seafood type vibe. And it's evergreen. They're going to be in the restaurant forever. And just really proud to have that collab and create something that really is super different and unique and pairs together two creative thinkers.
And just like chic and not exactly first thought. It's such a very cool sort of, if you know, you know, collab. Last time I was at Don Angie, I saw the candle and then I was just sort of like, oh, wow.
And that's my obsession too, is Cydia is really showing up where our customer is. If you go to Tracy Anderson, we're in the showers. If you go to the Beverly Hills Hotel, there's a Cydia hand treatment top up. We are in the bathrooms of Crownshy and Chez Margaux. And like, I care so much about being resonant in culture, I think, is a big part of Cydia.
Don't you, correct me if I'm wrong, have something in the Chelsea Hotel?
It was a candle.
Yes.
A spa.
There it is. Yeah. Yeah. We also did a candle with the Chelsea Hotel spa.
Wow.
That property is so extraordinary. And the reason we partnered with them is because my obsession with these heritage brands, these brands that have been around forever. That hotel's been there since 1884, and it was all inspired by the little lady that like lives on the fireplace, like the icon of the hotel that's everywhere, part of the branding. And she's our muse, and she's just, she's been there forever. And so we created a fragrance for the spa, and really cool to align Cydia with these heritage moments.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah.
Chelsea Hotel is so iconic. It hurts.
Guys, I was partying there when I interned at W Magazine before they redid it. I'm like an ancient ruin.
I know, that's awesome.
It's all about the nostalgia for me, always.
Totally. So I actually haven't smelled that one. I need to smell that one in the worst
way. I'll send it to you.
Oh, amazing. So I guess we should talk about Miss Sophie Puffett.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the studio.
I mean, Sophie, same thing. Yeah. Sophie, you know, introduced by a bunch of friends and really became ingrained in each other's vibe and businesses and all of that, and wanted to bring life to her gorgeous studio. And again, all of our customers are there. Like, people are obsessed with Sophie. And so I feel like we gravitate towards these, I don't know, niche communities of people that are really doing cool shit, you know?
Yeah. It smells so much different than you would think.
Yeah, it was a lot brighter.
Yeah, a lot juicier
than I expected, for whatever reason. Which is funny, because I don't think I actually went in with expectations. It was just like very bright and very zesty.
Compared to the vibe of her studio or what you
maybe,
thought?
Maybe, yeah. I think when I think of like a spa, I think of something very calming.
Like eucalyptus.
Yeah, yeah. Like herbaceous, a little anesthetizing, but this was very zippy.
And fun.
Fun.
very zippy. Yeah. And we also wanted to try with the blonde woods and the white musk to give it a bit like Canal Downtown Soho Studio, like something a little unexpected. And I'm obsessed with the scent. It's so good. We also made little room sprays for the event. Oh, and like, cool. I obviously stole the bottle. And took well, who do you guys think we should collab with next? Ooh, tell me.
Oh, what a good question.
Us.
Actually us. Wow.
Nuts for nuts. City at X.
I feel like all your collabs are so New York in that way.
Yes.
And that scent is so ingrained in so many people's lives. And it's like, I mean, it's right there. It's not the Chelsea Hotel, but it's right down the street. I know. You know?
It's right outside the Chelsea Hotel.
I know. I feel like maybe we need to migrate to LA a little bit.
Oh, give a little West Coast love. I don't know.
I'm here for all ideas.
Yeah.
I can see you doing something with the Whitney.
Yes.
Yeah.
Feels the same sort of vibe.
Cool. I'm writing that one down.
Yeah. Call me. This has been so exciting and so great to connect with you. I know we got to chat a little bit at the Sophie Pavitt event, but thank you for making the time with us today. We know it's a Saturday. We know there's a lot going on. So
Oh my God, we appreciate it.
And we can't wait to see what's next for Cydia. Please keep us posted.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I will. Lots coming. And especially with our new fragrance, I cannot wait for you fragrance heads to try it.
Yes. We will be eagerly awaiting. Yep.
I feel like Erin is the final girl boss. I say that reverently.
That felt post-girl boss. You know what I mean? Yeah. Entrepreneuring at the end of the world.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the girl boss is the figurehead of the business where she was just doing her thing and letting that be the thing, which I respect. Mm-hmm. People who, quote unquote, move in silence, the loudest phrase in the world.
Yeah.
I always respect people who work really hard and put pride into their work, but it's not an ego project, mm-hmm. which like this, none of these things feel like, which is cool.
Yeah. I think we know that I'm eager to get to an era where we decenter the founder from the brand. Yeah. That Cydia feels about the brand, not about the founder.
Totally. It's like such a success in that regard.
Yeah. It's like, it's on its own.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
It stands on its own two legs. I love it. I think, again, I just... The fragrances and formulas speak for themselves. I think if you're going to do brand collabs, the way that Cydia does it is exciting and fun and actually makes you want to pay attention to them.
What's also cool is I feel like there are a few brands who do what a lot of people might be like out of left field collabs. Mm-hmm. Like maybe a little bit Dior and Durga. What's their face? The guy. Oh, we had them on. I'm forgetting their name. They did like the Lucali candle.
Joya.
Yeah. Joya Studios does like a lot of A24 stuff. And you think, oh, that's totally random. And then you talk to the founders and you're like, oh, you guys are friends. Mm-hmm. This is like literally just friends doing stuff together. Mm-hmm. That's so nice. Mm-hmm. Like it's not some weird little like business team up.
It's not Wet and Wild ex Cheetos.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay.
Yeah. It's born out of genuine friendship and kinship, which I really like.
Right.
Which is cool. Yeah. So it's cool. It's nice to see when like people from different industries are all interconnected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
I meant to ask her if they'll ever do a perfume.
They probably will.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's giving. Speaking of bras, I want to know more about the Victoria's Secret Home Collection.
Yeah.
That looks really good.
I want to smell them, but I was apprehensive to call them in because I'm like, please don't send me like 12 candles.
I don't want nine more candles in my home.
I don't want them. I wish they had little like the like votive tiny ones as a sample. Like I wish they could send those.
I'll call them in. I'll fuck around.
Yeah. Or incense. I don't know. Something. But yeah, it's a lot. I am very curious about that because I feel like with the perfumers that they've used on deck, I'm like, these are going to smell pretty good.
Oh, I didn't know that they...
It's all like Givaudan perfumers.
Okay.
Some of our friends of the pod. I know Dana Schmidt. I saw her name on
there. No way. Yeah. Oh my God.
So I'm like, I want to smell my friend's candle.
Okay. I'm going to get her candle regardless. Yeah. Let's all buy that candle.
What's worse?
Yeah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please give us 5 stars and 5 stars only wherever you can. Please go to our website, smellylater.live. You can leave us a nice little voice note. You can buy our new merch, which some of you have been doing. Thank you. It's so cute.
It's so cute.
It's been 80 fucking degrees. I haven't been wearing them yet, but I cannot wait to wear these long sleeves when it is sleeve appropriate weather.
Yes.
Follow us on Instagram. We're at smellylater.mp3. I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.